A grace to you and peace from our God and Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Well, dear friends, attitude really does make a difference, doesn't it? Two men went to a party. The first man reported that he had to park far away because there were so many people. It was really a long, inconvenient walk to be able to make it to the party. Once he arrived, no one there greeted him, and he was really disappointed in that. As he went to the buffet, the last piece of chicken that he wanted was taken by someone else. It was really kind of disgusting. He made his way to the kitchen where someone gave him a hard time, some obnoxious person just being mean for no reason. He made his way out back where some people were getting drunk, and he was more disgusted. He decided he would, in fact, leave and go home. And so he did. Another man went to a party. He had to park far away, but he enjoyed the walk. The air was very pleasant. It was just the right temperature. And he noticed some little squirrels playing along the way as he went. When he arrived at the party, he saw many, many people that he knew and that he could interact with and that he could greet and have conversations with. There was a large buffet with plenty of food, and he chose from among what was there the things that he would like to eat. He needed a drink, and so he made his way to the kitchen where he joked and kind of elbowed and ribbed the guy that was there with him. He reported he had a wonderful time. It was one of the best parties he had been to in many weeks. Now, dear friends, perhaps you know what I'm going to say next. Both men attended the same party. Both men went through the same experience, and yet they had completely different outlooks, didn't they? The one was upset, he was disgusted, he felt like he was slighted, like nothing went his way, he's never going to that place again. The other man had a very enjoyable experience. And what was the difference? It really came down to attitude, didn't it? You see, the second man, he had to park far away as well, but he found things to enjoy. The air temperature being just right. The little squirrels playing on someone's lawn. The pleasant walk that he had on his way. When he arrived at the party, rather than saying to himself, "No one here has greeted me properly, no one here really cares about me," instead he said, "Who can I talk to? Who can I greet? Who can I have a conversation with?" He went and interacted with people. When faced with that same situation, perhaps the last piece of my favorite chicken has been taken by that jerk in front of me, instead, he chose from the many things that were still available. He found a way to have a pleasant, eating experience while he was there. When he went into the kitchen to get something to drink, instead of saying, "Oh, that obnoxious fool is just being mean to me," right? He laughed and joked with the person who kind of had an obnoxious sense of humor. He, at every step of the way, found a different way to live, didn't he? And so even though the two experienced the exact same things coming from the outside, they reacted from the inside completely differently. Dear friends, our Lord and Savior, he tells us, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say it to you, rejoice." How you do that, right? Yeah, you have to be able to control your focus, don't you? Because yes, in this world we will have trouble, won't we? In this world you might have to walk away ways, and you know, we're getting a little bit older, and the second toe on your right foot has a little bit of arthritis in it, you know, and it's maybe hard to walk on that. And so you're maybe walking into the church this morning, you're saying, man, last night my dog got me up at 3 a.m. I didn't get to sleep through the night, and I woke up, I was kind of irritated. You know, and as I was making the turn to come into the church here, somebody tried to cut me off. I shook my fist at him. And then I parked in the parking lot, and I had to walk in, and that toe I was talking about that was really bothering me. And I am just having a bad day. We've been there, haven't we? We've all had things like that. But hopefully, on the other hand, right, maybe as you were able to change that, right? And so you're having that bad morning, and you walked in the church, and you heard Kathy playing the organ. You said, wow, we have a guest organist. We're going to get to sing the liturgy instead of just speaking it, right? And we know that she plays really well, and so we're happy to be there. And then I saw some of my friends, right? I started to fall into conversation with some of them, and someone greeted me, and they smiled, and I had a pleasant conversation. And suddenly, I forgot about the second toe on my right foot hurting, and that the dog kept me up all night, and I was having these other difficulties. Suddenly, my focus changed. You see, we've had experiences like that as well, haven't we? And our Lord and Savior, he comes to us and he says, hey, I want you to focus on me, right? I want you to experience me. I want you to be able to forget about your problems, because in this world you will have trouble. That's what the scripture says. But fear not, I have overcome the world. Stop looking at the problems and look at the Savior. The solution, right? You know, that's what Jesus is telling us in the scripture. Change our focus. Now, really, one of the things that maybe hurts our focus the very most is probably that lack of forgiveness, isn't it? Right? That instead of being grateful, right, to the things that the Lord has provided, we start looking at that jerk in front of me just took the last piece of chicken. Man, I don't like that guy. Well, maybe he didn't even know you were standing there, right? Maybe he didn't even do it on purpose. He saw some chicken too. He said, hey, I want a piece of chicken. He wasn't thinking about other people. He wasn't, you know, just actually trying to hurt you, right? He just took the piece of chicken. But now I'm mad. Oh, mad. And what happens when we start to get angry, when we stop forgiving other people? Things kind of, they begin to shut down, don't they? I don't know if you've been there. You know, probably in the course of your life, there's a time when you held a grudge. And what was that like? It maybe began to occupy, you know, all of your free time, right? You get in your car to, you know, drive to work, and you're thinking, oh, man, that guy took my piece of chicken. Can't believe he did that last Friday. Well, it's Monday morning already. And then you got to work, and you have this kind of grumpy look on your face, and you're kind of scowling at people, and people are going, hey, man, what's wrong? What happened? I don't want to talk. People are, you know, they're kind of, oh, you know, maybe I need to step back a little bit from that person. You're going about your day, and you're maybe making a phone call, you know, part of your business, and you got to contact someone. There's kind of an edge in your voice, you know, because you're still mad. And now that customer is like, I maybe don't know if I want to do business with that grumpy company, you know. And so it's trying to affect your work. It's trying to affect your life, and you had a bad day at work, and now you got home, and the dog is acting up. You kicked the dog. Stupid dog acting up again. Well, I hope it hasn't been that bad for you, but sometimes, right, it gets that way for a lot of people, right? I hold on to that grudge, right? I really am still angry about that. It's kind of, you know, overflowing into the rest of my life. You know? And now my wife is upset with me because I kicked the dog. Just can't win, see? It's just how it goes. And I know for many of you, you know, in the course of your life, you didn't have a problem with maybe minor, you know, things like that that, you know, seemed inconsequential. I know for me, myself, I can't really remember any slights against myself when I was young, but, you know, someone hurt my kid. Right, for me, that was a hard thing to forgive. You know, right at this moment, I could say, you know, someone did this thing to Mark, and someone did this thing to Andrew. I remember that thing they did to Scott. And, oh, you know what happened to Robert? And maybe you're just the same, right? I think for us as parents, as grandparents, right, that can become one of the hardest things to forgive, can't it? You know, the dog kept you up, and you had to get up at 3 in the morning. You didn't get enough sleep, and now you're kind of tired, and you're kind of grinding through your morning routine, and suddenly, you know, it comes back. Oh, man, what that coach did to my kid. What that teacher, you know, did to my girl. You know, whatever the case might be, right? Those things, they can start to pile up, can't they? But it turns down the light in our life, doesn't it? You know, just like those fancy rheostat switches, you know, you put on some of your lights maybe at home because you know, you want to have mood lighting, you know, and so you can have it on full brightness, or, you know, you can turn it way down. And when we hold a grudge against people, it's like someone took the rheostat in our life and they started, you know, to turn it down again. And it starts to get darker. And you know, when it's dark, you know, you can just kind of see things are gray and things are black, and you don't really see a lot of colors anymore. You start to kind of move through your life in that way where it's just kind of a drudgery. And to get back from that, right, we have to change our focus, don't we? We have to be able to go to the Lord once again. And we have to be able to say, Lord, you know, I'm sorry. I've been holding this grudge. And Lord, I understand. I'm just really hurting myself. And Lord, can you please help me to forgive? And that's how we come back to the light, isn't it? I know some of the things maybe that have happened in your life, that they've been horrible. And I know maybe there's some people out there that, you know, really acted as your enemy. And they hurt you intentionally because they wanted to. But yet, if we hold on to all of that stuff, if we let those things overwhelm us, we're sitting in darkness. You know, we're talking about this terrible party that is my life, when instead I can choose to change my focus. I can choose to worship God once again. I can choose to look up. I know in the past I probably shared this little saying with you, but I'll share it once more. Now, two men looked through prison bars, and one saw mud, and the other the stars. See, in this world, we do have trouble. And the fact of the matter is that the disciples experienced trouble that you and I perhaps will never know. Yeah, imagine going into a community for the express purpose of sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ, not only to be thrown into prison, only to be beaten, only to be exiled. And I think to myself, you know, it'd be so easy for me sitting in the prison to say, come on, boy, right? I did this for you. I came to this community for your purpose. I've been doing the things you want me to do, and now I'm in prison. Come on. It's not fair, and it's not right, and I hate those people that beat me. It'd be so easy to think that way, wouldn't it? And dear friends, the original disciples were actually able to sing in the prison. Now, why was that? They weren't hurt any less when they were thrown in. It didn't chafe their wrist any less to have no big chains bound around them. It wasn't like it was somehow, you know, more comfortable for them, but the fact was they looked to God. They changed their focus. Instead of looking down at the mud through the bars, they looked up and saw God. They were able to rejoice in their sufferings, the Bible says. They were able to praise the Lord even in the midst of the most trying circumstances. How did they do that? Well, really, it was because of what Jesus has first done for us, isn't it? Because our Lord and Savior, even though he was full of power, he humbled himself in the form of a little baby that had to be taken care of. You know, we think of Jesus not really in human terms, don't we? But, you know, his mom had to change his diaper when he was born. Okay? The Bible says in the first part of the Gospel of John, through Jesus all things were made. He is the one that created every single thing. And that man who created all things now was a tiny little baby that needed his diaper changed. Do you imagine giving up that kind of power to become a little baby? And then as he grew in years and he gathered his disciples around him and he led a perfect life and he never sinned and he never did one single thing wrong, and every place he went, he healed millions of people. The Gospel of John tells us that John wrote the Gospel. He says at the end, if I told you everything that Jesus had done, it would fill all the books in all the libraries in the world. To every single place Jesus went, he was doing stuff. He was healing people. And being perfect and looking out for others got him crucified. See, if anyone would be able to say they got a bad deal, it would be Jesus, right? To never sin, never do a thing wrong, heal thousands, millions of people, and get for that spikes through his hands and through his feet. To get that kind of a death where the water built up around his heart until his blessed heart couldn't beat anymore. Right, when they pierced his side, out came blood and water. Right, he dies essentially of congestive heart failure. A terrible, suffocating death. And Jesus did it all for us. He did all of that for us. What a marvel, isn't it? What a mystery that Jesus would love us that much, that he would allow himself to die that death on the cross. Dear friends, when we begin to reflect on all Jesus has done and everything that Jesus has gone through, I think we can trust him. And when we trust the Lord, then we can begin to listen, you know, to his direction. And so Jesus says, I want you to change your focus. I want you to be able to forgive other people. Not just so they get off the hook and they can have a nice life and everything can be all okay for them, but I want you to forgive other people so light can come back into your life. See? I want you to be able to forgive other people, you know, so we can make it a little bit brighter for you. I want you to be able to forgive other people so you're not looking at the mud all the time, but rather you're looking to the God who made you, who loves you so very much. I want you to be saved. You see, God does indeed want good things for us. He desires that every single person could be saved, that every single person could come to the knowledge of him, that every single person in chain, even though perhaps just in their mind, in prison, can look through those prison bars and see God rather than all the things that are going wrong. Yes, dear friends, that is where God wants us to be, to forgive others. So the light can turn back on again, to change our focus, to see our God. Amen. May the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be in your hearts and minds now and always. Amen.